We're going to be in Matthew chapter number 9. Matthew chapter number 9 tonight. And as we think about missions and a missions emphasis, I want us to see what is at the heart of missions. And what you'll find at the heart of missions is compassion. Missions is all about compassion. Seeing men and women and boys and girls come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. And here in Matthew chapter 9, of course, we find the Lord Jesus Christ. And he, beginning there at verse number 35, the Bible says, "And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then saith he unto his disciples, The harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest." You notice that phrase there in verse number 16, he was moved with compassion. You know, if we're ever going to develop a heart for missions, if we're ever going to develop a love for missions, we too, like our Savior, need to be moved with compassion. And we think about the word compassion tonight and what it is. And well, the word compassion, as it's used here in the Bible, means to be moved inwardly, to yearn with tender mercy, affection, pity, and empathy. It refers to the deepest possible feelings. This phrase here in verse number 36, moved with compassion, means to be moved in the inner organs. It has the same idea. How many of you have ever, maybe you either heard the phrase or even you've said it yourself when talking to somebody, you say, "I love you from the bottom of my heart." Anyone ever hear that or say that before? Well, that's where we get it from. That's where we get that idea, that modern expression, from the bottom of my heart. And someone has defined compassion as this: sympathy coupled with a desire to help. Sympathy coupled with a desire to help. Now, sympathy just simply means the capacity to share feelings, to enter into the same feelings, to feel the same thing. And so when we think about compassion tonight, compassion can be defined as sharing the feelings of others and possessing a desire to help them in their trouble. You know, the truth of the matter is tonight we can share their feelings because you and I know what it was like to be lost in our sin. We know what it was like to be without Christ. And now we know what it is like to have Christ and to be saved and to have our sins forgiven and on our way to heaven. And now we ought to have a desire to help those who are in their trouble, who are in their sin, who still yet need the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. And so here in our passage tonight, we see that Christ was moved with compassion. But the question becomes, what moved him? Well, we see the first four words of the verse here tonight, in verse number 16, "But when he saw." But when he saw. And folks, tonight, if we're ever going to be moved with compassion for people who are lost in their sin, we must see them. And there's several things we must see about people tonight if we're going to have compassion on them. The very first thing we must see is we must see their depravity in sin. We must see their depravity in sin. You see, the Lord Jesus Christ here, he was moved with compassion because these people here in Matthew chapter 9, they were lost on their burdensome load of sin. And you know, the same is true even today. You just look around you, you can't miss, you can't deny the fact that there are people who are hurting. There are people who are longing. There are a needy people that need to be reached by a Christian who is compassionate for their sinful soul. You don't have to turn there, but Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 3, the Bible says, "And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sin, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we had our own conversation in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others." Psalm 38 and verse 4, the Bible says, "For my iniquities are gone over mine head, as an heavy burden, they are too heavy for me." You see, tonight, as we think about people, we need to see their depravity and sin. They're lost. They're undone. They're longing and hurting and being torn apart by sin. And they need the Lord Jesus Christ, for he is the only answer. He is the only cure. He is the only solution to their sin. Sure, they might be trying to fill that hole with a number of things, with a myriad of things to try and mask that sin, but there's only one cure, and his name is Jesus. And to be moved with compassion like Christ was, we must see their depravity in sin. But then secondly tonight, we see not only must we see their depravity in sin, we must see their destiny in hell. We must see their destiny in hell. You see, the Lord Jesus Christ here was moved with compassion because he could see the end from the beginning. He knew that apart from him, apart from the Lord Jesus Christ, they would spend an eternity in hell. And so no wonder tonight he was moved with compassion. Because we know tonight Jesus and God the Father, they don't want anybody to go to hell. And as Christians tonight, you and I need that same vision. You know, if we really believe in hell like we say we do, then we ought to be telling more about the Savior, more men, more women, more boys, more girls about the Savior. Turn over, if you would, Luke chapter 16 tonight. Luke chapter 16. And here in Luke chapter 16, we find that even the people in hell, they're concerned about the lost. Luke chapter 16. And notice there, if you would, beginning at verse number 27. The Bible says, "And he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house. For I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Abraham saith unto him, They have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. And he said, Nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto him, If they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead." We know the account. We know the story here. This, of course, the account of the rich man and Lazarus. And this rich man, he would die. He would go to hell. Lazarus would die. He would be taken to Abraham's bosom. And here, the rich man, in verse 24, the Bible says, "And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water, and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. By the way, that rich man to this day is still in hell. That rich man to this day is still begging for that, just that tip of a water that it might cool his tongue. But there is no relief. There is no reprieve from the torments of those flames. He's still there even yet today. And he says there in verse 27, now he's looking at his life that was, and he sees and he knows now that he has family that has been left behind, and he's begging for someone to go and to witness and to tell them about Christ. But the sad response from Abraham, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And the rich man's response, nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And then Abraham tells him, if they hear not Moses, if they hear not the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. How sad that is when we think about just the implications of that verse. Again, we know the scriptures have a lot of typology in them, and here we find another typology of Christ. You know, the Bible tells us in Romans, how shall they hear without a preacher? And there are preachers all over our world today. They are preaching Christ crucified. They are preaching repentance of sins. And there are people who are not listening. And they say, and some think, well, if they just had Christ come and tell them themselves, they would listen. But here we see that if they won't listen to the ones who Christ did send, they won't be persuaded even if Christ himself appeared to them. But again, you just look around and look around the church and the outside walls of this church. There are people all around us tonight who will die in their sins and go to hell. Now the question is, will they go without your having told them? Will they go without you having been a witness for them? Ezekiel chapter 33, you don't have to turn there, but Ezekiel chapter 33 and verse number 8, the Bible says, when I say unto the wicked, O wicked man, thou shalt surely die, if thou dost not speak to warn the wicked from his way, that wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at thine hand. We have a responsibility tonight. We have a duty tonight to be a witness to a lost and dying world. And you know, listen, we're all guilty of this. You know, we know where to be a witness. We know where to share the gospel. We know where to share our faith. And, you know, I'd like to believe tonight we're good at sharing our faith. I'd like to believe tonight that 9 times out of 10, when given that opportunity, we share our faith. We share Christ. We share the gospel. But my concern tonight is that 10th time. And for whatever the reason may be, you know, we get tongue-tied, we get nervous, we get intimidated, we get whatever the case may be. And instead of witnessing, we don't witness. And well, here, according to the scripture, the Bible says that if we do not warn them, they'll die in their iniquity, they'll die in their sin, but their blood will be required at our hand. Romans 10:14, the Bible says, how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? Now, I want you to know tonight, when you see that verse, how shall they hear without a preacher? That's just not talking about a pastor. Listen, any one of us here tonight can be a preacher. Any one of us here tonight can be can proclaim the gospel, can tell somebody about the gospel, can tell somebody about Jesus. And so, you know, we said it often, there are going to be people you can reach that I can't reach. There'll be people I can reach that you can't reach, and so on and so forth. And so how shall they hear if you don't tell them? How shall they hear if I don't tell them. And you see, folks, tonight, if we're ever to be moved with compassion, we see tonight we must see their need. We must see their need for a Savior. We must see their depravity and sin. We must see their destiny in hell. There is no a way around it. We must see it. And that's the only way that it will touch our hearts and move us to compassion. You say, how do we know that? Lamentations 3:51, the Bible says, mine eye affecteth my heart. Mine eye affecteth my heart. If we ever have any hope of reaching this area for Christ, if we have any hope of reaching our world for Christ, we must see their need. And their need is that of a Savior. They need to know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. You know, so oftentimes someone might come in and, they might not necessarily look like a Christian. They might not talk like a Christian, dress like a Christian, or whatever the case may be. And, there are some churches that are known to, not be too friendly to such people. But the church is not a museum for saints. It's a hospital for sinners. And, churches years ago, they used to put on their signs, come as you are, right? Come as you are. That's the way it still ought to be. Come as you are. But, I'm thankful tonight that God, He loves us too much to leave us just as we are and just as He found us. Because if someone comes in and they get saved and they get Christ as their Savior, guess what? God's going to turn their life around. God's going to make a change. And when they first came in and they were that, dirty, rotten, no good sinner, they're going to have a change in their life. And you could find this on the internet, but years ago there was a mega church pastor, and he wanted to get a feel for just how loving or lack thereof his congregation was. And so he decided he was going to dress up as a homeless person. And he got all the makeup, and he was unrecognizable. And anyone ever see that show Undercover Boss? Where the boss goes undercover and goes into his own company. Well, this is kind of what this was. And so he dresses up as this homeless person, and he parks himself right outside the front doors of the church, thinking, okay, surely there'll be people in the church who invite me in, and so on and so forth, and whatever the case may be. Well, he goes, he sits there, and person after person just comes and walks around him, doesn't interact with him, and just comes into the church, and so on and so forth. And then eventually he comes in, the service starts, and he comes up onto the platform and takes off part of the disguise or whatnot, and that would lead into the message on his message on compassion and so on and so forth. But, that's why the church is here. Why churches like us exist, to be a hospital for sinful souls. And, sometimes I think we need to be reminded. At one time, you and I, we were that sinner. The Bible tells us, and such were some of you. Where would we be tonight if it weren't for the grace of God? Where would we be tonight if it wasn't for God saving us and changing us and getting us in the church? I'd venture to say we probably wouldn't be in church tonight if it wasn't for the grace of God. And so it needs to move us to compassion when we see them. But then we see thirdly tonight that seeing the need will move us with compassion. And we see examples of this all in the Bible. We see examples of this all in Scripture. We think of Nehemiah tonight. He was moved with compassion when he saw and heard of the ruined walls in Jerusalem. Nehemiah 1:3-4, the Bible says, and they said unto me, the remnant that are left of the captivity there in the province are in great affliction and reproach. The walls of Jerusalem also is broken down, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. And it came to pass when I heard these words that I sat down and wept and mourned certain days and fasted. and prayed before the God of heaven. The Apostle Paul was stirred when he saw the city of Athens given to idolatry. Acts 17 at verse 16, the Bible says, "Now, while Paul waited for them at Athens, his spirit was stirred in him when he saw the city wholly given to idolatry." Here in Matthew chapter 9, our Lord Jesus Christ was moved with compassion when he saw the people without a shepherd, Matthew 9, 36. "But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd." And so you see, folks, tonight, seeing will help move you with compassion. But then it needs to go a step further than just seeing the need. It needs to go a step further than just being moved with compassion, because then our compassion needs us to act upon it. And that's what we see fourthly and finally tonight. Compassion must be followed by action. Compassion must be followed by action. We think tonight of Nehemiah. We think tonight of Paul. We think tonight of Jesus. And, you know, they very well could have stopped at just being moved with compassion. You know, how many of us we ever see those animal commercials, right, for the SPCA, you know, and they play that sad music and they show you all these sad animals and you think, man, I want to just go adopt them all. Well, you know, we can't adopt all the animals. We can't adopt all the dogs and all the cats and, you know, all the birds and everything else. And then we think, well, maybe I'll send in my donations. But then the commercial goes away and guess what? Our compassion, you know, goes away because then, you know, another commercial comes on or our show comes back or and that moment of compassion is it's gone. We were moved for that little bit, but, you know, we didn't really do anything with it. And Jesus and Paul and Nehemiah, they could have been the same way, but they didn't. Nehemiah saw the need. He was moved. And he acted by rallying the people together to rebuild the walls. Paul saw the need, was moved, and acted by delivering one of the greatest messages that the Bible ever records for us on Mars Hill. And then our Lord Jesus Christ saw the need of fallen man. He was moved with compassion and acted by giving his life for us on the cross at Calvary. Compassion tonight must be followed by action. You see, tonight we see the need of our area, we see the need of our town and of our city and of our state and of our country. And we say that it moves us to compassion, it moves us to concern, and yet we don't ever do anything about it. There is something wrong with that. You see, compassion must be followed by action. And the question is, do we have concern and compassion for people as our Lord did here tonight? You know, we think about compassion tonight. We think about concern tonight. Compassion and concern will send us out on visitation. Compassion and concern will keep us busy telling the story even when people are hard and unresponsive. Compassion will and concern will cause the church to purchase what's needed and support missionaries to send them to untouched areas of the community and of the world. Every method will be used to win others to Christ, to win others to the Lord. Compassion and concern will cause us to speak to others. Compassion and concern will cause us to obey our Lord's command to witness. Compassion and concern will build a warm, friendly church. In short, tonight, if we really have the compassion and concern as we claim, it will move us to action. But you see tonight, without concern and without compassion, the altars are empty. Without compassion and concern, missionary giving drops to new lows. Without compassion and concern, the services of a church become stereotypical. They become dead. Without compassion and concern, souls remain lost. And so tonight you ask what our action must be if we're moved with compassion. After seeing the need of the people, simple, We seek to make a difference. Jude in verse 22, the Bible says, and of some have compassion, making a difference. You say, how do we make a difference? Again, it's very simple. Matthew chapter 28. Go there if you would. You're there in Matthew chapter 9. Matthew chapter 28. We saw it this morning in Sunday school. And this is the portion of scripture we'll close with. Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20. The Bible says, and Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you alway, even unto the end of the world. Amen. We want to make a difference, then we simply must go. Again, look for those opportunities to be a witness for Christ. Look for those opportunities to share Christ in your everyday life. I close with this illustration tonight. While walking home from school, a boy named Mark noticed the boy ahead of him had stumbled to the ground and dropped everything he was carrying. Mark hurried to the boy's side and helped him collect his belongings. Surprisingly, the boy was carrying an especially hefty load. There was a baseball glove and a baseball bat, a couple of sweaters, a small tape recorder, and an armful of books. Mark helped him carry the things home, and his new friend Bill was most appreciative of his compassion. During the walk home, Mark discovered Bill was struggling in school and had just broken up with his girlfriend. When they arrived at Bill's house, he invited Mark in for a soda, and they spent the rest of the afternoon talking, laughing, and watching TV. Although the two boys never became real close friends, they kept up with each other throughout the rest of junior high and high school. Several weeks before graduation, Bill approached Mark and asked him if he remembered that day they met when Mark helped him with all of his stuff. Mark nodded as he remembered. Bill then asked, did you ever wonder why I was carrying so many things that day? Without pausing for an answer, Bill explained he had cleaned out his locker and he was going home to take his life. He had been storing away sleeping pills and was headed home to end it all when Mark happened along to help him out. Bill told Mark how that simple act of compassion inspired him to go on living. He said, Mark, when you picked up my books that day, you saved my life. You think about it tonight, folks. Imagine just how many times, you know, those small, seemingly insignificant gestures that you do for somebody just might encourage them. Just might reignite that flame of life and inspire somebody to continue. And listen, the truth is not, we don't know what people are going through when we encounter them in an everyday situation. But you know, thankfully tonight, compassion has a way of doing that. You know, we said tonight, everybody needs a little Jesus, right? Well, you never know what a little compassion will accomplish. You see, tonight, remember, compassion is more than just feeling sorry for somebody. It's more than just pity. Compassion is a desire to reach out and make a difference in the life of someone else. In truth tonight, compassion is a desire to be Christ to somebody else. And so as we close tonight, are you a compassionate Christian for sinful souls? And like Christ, are you moved with compassion tonight? And like Him, doing something to see them saved? Or maybe, and listen, we all fall into this trap, we become cold and callous and uncaring. Especially when, you know, we deal with so many people that, you know, they become unresponsive. They themselves become, you know, they want nothing to do with Christ. They want nothing to do with church. They want nothing to do with God. And, you know, sometimes we can get like Jonah. You know, if they die and go to hell, well, good. They deserved it. We need to be careful of that attitude. We need to be careful of letting that attitude, you know, infect us. And if that's the case tonight, tonight's that night that you can reignite that passion for souls in your life. Tonight's tonight for you to once again determine that you're just going to show a little bit of compassion to a lost and dying world, to those people you know that need the Lord Jesus Christ. But when he saw, he was moved with compassion. Tonight, let us be moved with compassion for a lost and dying world. Let's pray.